Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Ryan Kibbe. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Pretend you're a Southern congregation. Hoop and holler and shout and throw some energy our way. Okay, guys? Now, really quickly, I just wanted to share, I had a vision about 10 years ago that God reminded me of this morning, and it was this vision of little fires being spread all over our state, and these little fires powerfully spreading out into the nation, and he reminded me of that this morning. I believe that this is the season that we're in right now. I believe that this is the season that we're in right now, a forced expansion of the kingdom into your neighborhoods. Believe it or not, your house just became a house of prayer. Believe it or not, your home just became a place of prayer, if it wasn't already. So I want to encourage you, let the wind of the Spirit blow through your house this morning and perpetually in this season, because those embers, those sparks are going to blow out into your neighborhoods, and we're going to see an advance of the kingdom that we've never seen before come from an unexpected place. That's what this is. I also want to thank you for your generosity this morning. Thank you so much. Giving to Elevation is a little over 50% of what it normally is. That's a miracle in and of itself. But I want to invite you today to sow into our house and to be a part of what God is doing here. Now, as you can see, we're still digital. As you can see, we're in this place right now where all on-site events are still being postponed to a later date. But your giving is still an opportunity for you to worship God. So you can give online at elevationchurchwi.com/giving, and we'll be putting a link up right in the video. You can also mail checks if you're more comfortable giving that way to our address. That's 2605 South Oneida, Suite 123, Green Bay, Wisconsin, 54304. Your giving has a profound opportunity to have impact right now. And what I mean by that is not just for keeping this house moving forward in the direction God has. What I mean is we're coming into a place where we're in uncertainty, and the heart posture and uncertainty is often, I want to hoard and I want to hold really, really tightly to the things that I have. And I think God is breaking that by bringing even more generosity into the household of the faithful to sow in even when it doesn't make sense. So I'm not saying don't pay your bills. I'm saying that God is doing something in our people right now that looks like generosity and stepping into radical provision through that. Amen? So thank you guys so much for being with us. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Ryan to pray and kick this thing off. Reverend Ryan Kibbe.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, you are good. You are good. And I can literally feel the prayers of so many people right now in the hour that we stand in. I can literally feel them cheering Jesus on. Lord, today we send a message that echoes throughout eternity, that our people of our nation, of our city, and our region, we'll never bend, we'll never bow, we'll not burn in the fire. We are the fire, and we are going to roar through every trial, every circumstance, because Jesus is Lord of all. He's either Lord of all or he's Lord not at all, but we know that you're Lord of all. And Father, I see today that people are coming to you all across our country, and they're going to get wrecked by the goodness of God in the midst of this contradiction. And that COVID or any sickness or disease, any economic uncertainties, all of that is inferior to your superior reality. And I pray right now in every living room that people get rocked by the presence and the goodness of God. And everybody said, amen. In the face of the spirit of fear, and make no mistake, it is a spirit. The Bible says that we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power and sound mind. You know, I felt this morning as I was driving around the city, praying and interceding over our region. I felt a fight in me. I could have come up here and done a talk, but I felt a fight in me. In fact, so much I felt provoked. I just want to turn around and show you that I'm wearing an American Fighter t-shirt here because I just feel like we need to fight. We need to fight on our knees. We need to fight with encouragement. We need to fight and say, no, we won't take this lying down. We will prefer one another. We will not be intimidated by a sickness or disease. We will not be intimidated by economic uncertainties. What we will do is that we will rise and we will shine, for the glory of the Lord has come upon us. Isaiah 60. And I got a message this morning that I felt was unshakable. I got provoked. I got really provoked. In Acts chapter 11, we see this picture of the early believers. In fact, it was first where they were called Christians. They had had encounters with Jesus, the early Christians, and the apostles had been moving in wisdom and love and power, extraordinary miracles performed by the early apostles. Let me just send a real message here. We haven't seen anything yet. The God of the universe is not done moving in passion, purity, and power for people. He is not done in moving in passion, power, and purity for people. We will, in this hour, see extraordinary miracles through people, signs, wonders. We will see a massive harvest of people coming to Jesus. And I felt like in Acts chapter 11, which is the text that I'm going to be reading from, I felt like that was a prophetic picture of where we are in this hour. And for some of you who may be going, is God really able to move like that? Let me prophesy over you. The ones that may be watching this morning, I want to make a declaration over you. You haven't seen anything yet. The God of wonders is going to work his miracles and his wonders through you. So I want to speak and prophesy over you that you're unshakable this morning. And I want to say another thing before I get into the text. This hour that we stand in, God did not, and I want to repeat, did not bring sickness or disease upon his people, or any people for that matter, to judge America or the world. Absolute hogwash. Can you see the seriousness of which I'm saying this? That is absolute. Listen, people say, well, what about Job? What about Job? See, Job was a picture of people trying to understand the question, what is God like? And we had all kinds of opinions in the book of Job. And he had all kinds of people telling him what God was like. And people accusing God, and Satan accusing God and accusing Job. Let me just tell you, let me be real clear. The question of what God is like may be in Job, but the answer of what God is like is Jesus. And I want to say it even more clearly. I am not a disciple of Job. I am a disciple of Jesus. And if I can't find it in his nature, if I can't find it in his presence, his essence, in his well-being, if I cannot find that in Jesus, I toss it out. How many sicknesses and diseases did Jesus bless? How many disasters did he celebrate? How many storms did he sit and take lying down? No, he said, peace, be still. Acts 11 is our scenario. The early Christians are moving. God is moving amongst the Jews. And in that hour, all of a sudden, a revelation comes that the entire world can actually be introduced to Jesus. In Acts 10, Peter has this encounter, a vision, and leads a Gentile to the Lord, begins to spread the news like a virus across the land. That's where I want to read our text this morning. So if you have your Bibles at home, by the way, you can high-five me, you can cheer me on with likes, amens, attaboys, preach. I can feed on your encouragement. So Acts chapter 11 is our text, verse 19. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number of people who believed turned to the Lord. So here's what happened. They began to deal with an external threat to their way of life. Not so unfamiliar to what we're dealing with right now. The persecution that they spoke of in that scripture, in the Greek, it's translated trial, it's translated tribulation. It's this idea that this external reality and their whole world had been upended because of the persecution of a group of people coming at them externally who wanted to shut the message down. This was their reality. This is what they faced. They were in lockdown. They began to covertly meet in small homes and groups. And when the persecution started to hit and the reality of it's about to get real hit, notice their response wasn't to shut down. I'm not saying we don't need to be in our homes. The message didn't shut down. We need to honor what God is doing through our authorities in this land. Make no mistake about that. We need to pray for them and intercede for them. They're making incredible decisions. But I want to put your focus on the fact of this. In the midst of that fire, the fire coming at them stoked the fire within them, and that passion spilled out of them, and it turned the world upside down. Acts 17:6. An amazing thing happened through that trial. They began to hold their peace. I want to encourage someone right now. I want to speak to you right now. I want to speak to the stay-at-home moms who are doing everything they can to do online this and online that with their school. Maybe you have job uncertainty. You're pulling double shifts. I want to encourage you that Jesus is with you and his fire burns within you, on you, and he's for you. I want to speak to the workers that have, many of my friends who have lost jobs, who have been laid off, who are feeling the effects of this. I want to send a message that the fire that's coming at you is no match for the fire within you. And you will burn and face that trial. I want to say thank you to the healthcare workers who are continually interceding on our behalf in this hour. All of these things they faced, what they felt, we're feeling. But just like back then, they couldn't be quarantined. We can't be quarantined in the spirit. And we have an incredible opportunity through digital communication right now to get the good news out. And we do it by holding our peace. See, peace is not just the absence of war. It's the presence of a person. The Prince of Peace. Jesus, that's who we carry. That's who you carry. And he's interceding for you. See, peace, it doesn't mean just the absence of war. It can mean that, but it also means wholeness. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. And we have an advocate in heaven who's his reality is greater than our current reality. And when we begin to partner with the Prince of Peace, we bring heaven to earth and we bring his world to our world. And that means we can stand in the midst of the reality of the contradiction that is hitting us, and the storm that comes at us is no match for the peace that's within us. This is what the early Christians knew. Interesting that this lockdown and persecution began to spread the gospel like wildfire. Think about this. Every church right now has an opportunity to speak the goodness of God to a digital presence across our globe. That is unbelievable. That is amazing. So this is where the early Christians were. This is what they were facing. And the gospel was spreading in the midst of real issues. They were unshakable because of Jesus. I can tell you an encouraging story about my friend John. He right now works to help valet people at a local hospital. And of course, there's enormous panic. There's the threat of COVID and all of that, that people, those realities are real. Every day they're real. But John just shared with us this week, claiming Psalm 91 over his life. There will be no evil or pestilence that shall befall you. And John, who had to press through real fear, goes to work every day like so many healthcare workers and healthcare practitioners and doctors and nurses and all of them. And he goes in. Why? Because the peace that is within John is bigger than the storm coming at John. And he brokers that world every time he helps someone, valeting their cars. In the midst of the fear, he walks in great faith. Peace is a person. The thing that they were amazing at in the early church is that they were flexible in change. Think about what they faced. They built their worlds. They built their societal infrastructure a certain way around the synagogues and coming to church, and we go into the building. Isn't it amazing that just like back then, when we thought church was gathering people in the building, God used the contradiction. It wasn't from him, but he used it to be able to get the church out of the building. Ladies and gentlemen, the church isn't just about gathering on Sundays inside a local assembly. While that is extremely important and how I miss all of you, I think in the hour that we are living in right now, we can do what those early Christians did. We can find a neighbor, see, hey, how are you doing? You can give them a social quarantine hug. You can give an encouraging word. You can say, hey, how can I pray for you? What are you facing? You can do that on your street. This is what they faced, and they had to be flexible and change with all of those uncertainties. Then in verse 22, it says, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Amazing. Amazing that the Bible says that they had news. That good news was transmitted like a virus from this city to this city. I feel like God's speaking to us right now. In fact, I believe if you were blessed by today's message, you have an opportunity to share hope and encouragement in a lifestyle of saying, hey, I may be feeling it like you're feeling it, but my peace is in him. And in a place of uncertainty, calm prevails. Share that with somebody. Share the good news, just like they did. And word gets back to Jerusalem. You know, I see something really, really profound. This is me speaking out prophetically, and I ask that some of you get into agreement with this. Just like the news spread, what would it be like for every church to get the word out into the atmosphere? And instead of COVID-19 being the headline story in our society, we're not denying that it exists, we're just denying it influence. But all of a sudden, we begin with precision and we turn the tables on the prince of the power of the air, because that's what Satan's called. We turn the tables in the hour and we say, I helped a neighbor today on Facebook Live. And you share it. You get somebody healed, they get saved, they get delivered. All of a sudden, what was meant to be leveraged against us is now our weapon of mass instruction and destruction to the powers of hell that are trying to hurt all of us. Because the enemy is the enemy, not people. What would it be like if we began to leverage social media talking the headlines of what Jesus is doing and not what the enemy's doing? Champion the healthcare workers. Champion all of our elected officials. That may gall some of you, but I want to encourage you. We are all human. We are all his kids, and we all need to rally and make the fight the real fight, not other people. We don't fight people. We wage the weapons of our warfare against the enemy. The Bible says that the enemy was destroyed at the cross by what Jesus did. It's time that we rise up, church, and we appropriate the victory that he already gave us. And we do it by celebrating the goodness of God in the midst of every contradiction. If the book of Acts can do it, ladies and gentlemen, we can do it. This is the news. I felt the heart of the Lord for us to share. It says, considerable numbers came to the Lord. Amazing that the instruments of what many have called our disconnection, technology and social media, is now an instrument of liberation and connection in this hour that we live in. I think God has an incredible ability to redeem anything. Our Father can win with a pair of twos. Habakkuk 2:14 says, "The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord." Isn't it interesting, as we're all in quarantine, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord can be filled in the airwaves when we begin to dominate the headlines about what Jesus is doing, not what a virus is doing. When we begin to celebrate the goodness of humanity in Christ, when we begin to do that, watch God work his wonders through me and through you. The third response I want to point out is that they busted their comfort zones. They engaged new people. They had to travel and go into different things. Let me prophetically decree something. In fact, I'm going to walk over here and I want to decree something. Here's what's going to happen in the hour we live in. There are new inventions, creativity, wisdom, ingenuity, on-the-fly thinking, leaders with new capacities, wisdoms, and strategies that are going to be coming out because of the thing that we face. Meaning, the advancement of the kingdom, which will there always be an increase, the Bible says. The increase of that, there will be no end. And ladies and gentlemen, many of you watching this video will be inspired to create and innovate on the fly at times, to be flexible and change and adjust. And God is bringing forth inventions in the hour we've never seen because of this crisis. He didn't start it, but Jesus said, "It's finished, and our God will finish it." You watch. Our God is bigger than any contradiction. Somebody say amen. We need to bomb people with encouragement. I do not foresee that coronavirus will be the headline of this generation. Oh no, no. Innovation and creation of all of these things, a massive move of God, that will be the defining moment of this generation. I want to close with this. I felt really strong as we're going to receive communion here in just a second. I felt really, really strongly that the Lord really impressed on me that some people are feeling very hopeless right now, that they haven't encountered Jesus. They've heard about him. In fact, Josh or somebody, if we want to come up here and get on the keypad for communion in just a moment, I want to keep some semblance of normalcy here. I want to keep some semblance, even though I can't hug you and I can't squeeze you and I can't call you George. I do want to bring invitation to receive Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So I just want to take a moment. Holy Spirit, come. There are people who are watching this right now who may feel hopeless. They may feel uncertain. They may not even know what to think, but they're watching. For those of you who have heard about Jesus, but you're not sure where you stand with him, I just want to say to you very clearly, you receive Jesus as a free gift. There's nothing you can do to earn this. Not a thing. He's so good. Your sin, my sin, all of that, sin isn't the lead story. Sickness and disease isn't the lead story. Economic chaos isn't the lead story. The peace of Jesus is the lead story. And there is a real invitation to encounter him personally. And I felt really strongly that there are people, almost like an antibiotic or an antibody, some people have heard the message of Jesus so many times that they have been almost inoculated to the radical, heart-wrecking goodness of God because they've heard it through the lens of religion. I want to send a death blow to the spirit of religion right now, and I want to say to this very clearly, Jesus isn't religion. He is the Prince of Peace who will move in power, and I'm going to declare over you right now that you will receive power right now when you receive him electronically. And if there's anyone watching today or later that wants to receive Jesus electronically, at some point, just say, "I receive him." Say it on Facebook Live. High five somebody, but say, "I receive him by faith." It may be 3 years from now on this hour that somebody receives this word today. They desperately need him. I pray that when he does, he will move on you with such power and such love. The compassion of God will flood you like a hurricane. I'm praying for you. It's real simple. Here's what it is. Jesus, I don't know what to think. If you're real, show me. Show me who you are. And he will. Then reach out to someone. We have people here, electronic communication. We have pastors standing, waiting, chomping at the bit to connect with you electronically. We'll find you. Like Liam Neeson, we have a certain set of skills. We will stalk you. We will find you. Just kidding. But we want to connect with you. Pastor Aaron, come on up. We're going to take communion now. We're going to celebrate what Jesus has done and what he's about to do in our region. Pastor Aaron.
So if you're watching at home, I want to encourage you, get some bread, get some wine, get some grape juice. Use whatever you have available. It's not so much about the element as it is coming together. Communion is this amazing time where we get to be in the past and the present and the future all at the same time, and we get to be all one, whether we're in the same place or not. And what I mean is, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. But the scripture also says, we proclaim his death until he comes. So we're looking back to the death of Christ, and we're looking forward to his coming all at the same time. It's this beautiful thing. But I want to turn you to 1 Corinthians 10:17. It says, this will be the Peterson paraphrase because I don't have enough hands to grab my Bible, but 1 Corinthians 10:17 essentially says, in communion we're all one because we eat the same bread. Even though we're diverse parts of the body, we eat the same bread together, and in this there's oneness. So I want to encourage you that today, as we take communion together, this bread, his body broken, is so that we can be whole and in unity. So if you're taking communion with us today in your home, I want you to realize that if you're in Christ, you're still together. If you're in Christ, you're still together. If I'm in him and he's in you and you're in him, we're way closer to each other than we think, even though we're in our homes. So God, we thank you. We thank you that there's unity and healing in your body broken for us. We bless it now and we receive it now in your name. Amen. Jesus' blood represented in the cup is about more than the forgiveness of your sins. It's about a new covenant age that we get to stand in right now. It's a new covenant age that's way bigger than any government. It's way bigger than any virus. It's way bigger than anything that's going on in the world today. This blood representative of restored right relationship with God and with man. So that prayer that Ryan just prayed, this is a representation of that right here. That the veil is torn, that anything that you think separates you from God is a lie that you're believing. It's not the reality that we stand in. So God, we thank you that we have unity with each other and that we have unity with you, and that it's by your Spirit that we can cry out, Abba, Father. Thank you. Thank you for the nearness and the intimacy you've given us. Amen. I just want to encourage you guys. This is something that our family has been doing every day as part of keeping that house fire burning. We've been doing communion every day. You get the opportunity to do that too.
I want you to close with this. There's a song by Carrie Job that came out. In fact, I believe the other day I did a post. It's called The Blessing by Carrie Job. It came out about 8 days before all of this hit our country. It's an incredible song. It's called The Blessing. And before I read that, I want to read that to you because I want the words. If you have an opportunity, play it in your homes. I believe it's the heart of Father. It's a declaration over our homes of what the true nature of God is. See, Job was the question, Jesus was the answer, and he blessed us through Jesus. Let that issue forever be settled, that you are the blessed, you are the loved, and you are the redeemed. I'm going to read that as I close that out, but I felt like a couple of things that we can do. Some people are like, "What, Ryan, what can we do?" I've had people calling. Right now, we hunker down, we pray. We get in the Word. You have time, you get in that Bible. If you don't understand it, ask the Lord to reveal things to you. And if it's still struggling to understand it, reach out and touch someone via text messaging or whatever. Ask for help. That's what you can do. You can give God what you have to work with, and He'll do the rest. He just wants you. That's one action step. Stay connected somehow, some way. I've been getting texts and calls, and people are looking out for one another. That's Jesus. Keep it up. Another encouragement, he said, is an action step. Stand on his promises. Many of you have been given precious promises over the last year or two. Our church has had a number of prophetic words that if I listened to the contradiction, I would bow in fear. But my God's word is bigger to me than anything I see, because the opposite of faith isn't doubt. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. The opposite of faith is sight. Don't be impressed by what you see. Let the word of God transform you inwardly and watch him work his wonders. Last encouragement I want you to do is to protect your energy levels, guard your peace. You're not the Messiah, Jesus is. Take time when in the busyness. I'm reminding this to me because it's been a week for me, as I'm sure it's been for you. Conserve your energy levels, protect your peace. You're not the Messiah, he is. Let the Holy Spirit be the Savior of the world. Just do what he's doing in little, unique ways. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. I want to read the blessing. And if you're at home, as I close with this benediction, man, I can actually feel like, if y'all would agree with me, I actually feel like physical bodies in hospitals are being healed as I read this. Makes me want to almost cry. Gosh, I can see it in my mind. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He is for you. Father, I thank you for all of our people who have scrambled and worked hard for this moment right here. I pray that the God of wonders continues to work wonders through our people, that they would know who they really are, that they would know how powerful they really are in Christ. I pray that there's a reckoning on the powers of hell today, that the people of God and the children of God rise up in the hour we stand in, and they assume their proper identity, and that the sons of God will manifest according to Romans 8. And all of creation is groaning for us together as one to get it. I pray that the fulfillment of that begins right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I will be online this week. Our team will joining you. We're trying to stay as connected as we can. Tomorrow night, I'll be Facebook Live interactive at 6:30. Our teams are scrambling to create an interactive process where you can bring questions. And we may not have all the answers, but just being connected and the Q&A, man, that's just going to feel good. So 6:30 tomorrow night, we'll do that. Pastor Hope also sends her love as well. All of our team does. She's working and whipping up some stuff for your kids that I'm excited about. That'll be forthcoming in the days, and who knows how long this will go, but she's working diligently with our teams. And I thank Pastor Rick and our production team for all that they do. They've been scrambling and working tirelessly. So I'm going to leave you with what my grandparents did. They would sit around the dinner table, and at the end of the meal, they would kiss people and give them a hug. I love you. God bless you. King Jesus has got this. We'll see you this week.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.